The BerkshireEdge.com is the site to go to if you want information, news, event information for South County and the surrounding areas, the BerkshireEdge.com. And on Wednesdays, we get together with Marcy and David, and we pick out some stories that we'd like to talk about at the BerkshireEdge.com. So let's say good morning to both Marcy and David. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
I like that story about horses. That's really interesting.
Yeah, the Equus Effect, she has been at this for a long, long time, and she finally, it took, I think, about 4 or 5 years for the Department of Defense to get involved, but once they got involved, they realized how great it was for returning veterans, and then, of course, that goes off locally to all the first responders who might be responding to something that is tragic to them, because our first responders locally know most of the people in the area. So it's a great, great, great program.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
All right.
There's something healing about horses, you know.
There's something healing about animals in general, but horses are so misunderstood as beings and because they can be a little scary because they're so big.
Yeah.
And it's a great organization. And
yeah, I used to own them.
Yeah.
A lot of work. Raised him up. Okay.
All right. Let's go on to our first story here. And that is the select board. Big issues coming up. There's
This is in Great Barrington.
Yeah, in Great Barrington.
Yeah.
And you know what? I have to say something here, and I know people are going to throw stones and rocks at me. I think a roundabout in that area is probably a really good idea because, you know what? Traffic bottlenecks there anyway, and to me it might make it just a little safer. I'm not a big fan of roundabouts. They have a lot in New Jersey and in Pennsylvania, but I don't think that section is so bad for a roundabout.
I don't either.
But we have other things that are more crucial, like the bridges that are closed down in Great Barrington, and you know, there have been no accidents at this roundabout that I know of.
And it's right in front of the police station.
So, there will be a roundabout there where Route 23 and 7 come together. But I can think of other projects that are much more pressing.
It'll look nicer, though, I think. I really do think
it'll look nice. Yes,
yeah. It will.
I agree. It will look nicer. And, you know, and if we didn't have two major bridges out, one of which is really a problem, the Division Street Bridge. It's been closed for 2 years now. I would think, great, let's have a roundabout. But because, you know, I see more pressing things that the state could be spending its money on.
This is not my highest priority. But you see, this is a state route.
Yeah.
So they have a whole, and not a
not a local,
just a town.
Yeah, and the bridges are town. I think, and so this is a state. The state is looking for things to do.
Well, the state's probably
it'll be over $2 million before they are done. But anyway, yes, it'll be very nice.
But the state's probably looking at the town. Do you spend some of that marijuana money on bridges?
I don't know.
I mean, just imagine.
Yeah, pretty soon we won't have any taxes. We'll be
right.
Just
much pot sold here.
Just imagine if you had to cross that bridge that's been out for 2 years. If you had to cross that bridge to get your marijuana, the outrage would be unbelievable, and it would be fixed. Really? Roundabouts. There's a great movie.
They're a great New England tradition.
Yeah.
Actually, roundabouts.
They're an English tradition.
Although,
if you've ever driven in England and you come to a roundabout, it's very confusing because you have no idea which way to turn.
Well, if you ever go to Kingston, New York, there's a traffic circle. They call them traffic circles in New York, where the New York Thruway meets Route 28, which meets Broadway and which meets another road. And that traffic circle, Harry Thayer, who owned a radio station, used to call it the black hole of death because it wasn't lit at night. So about 10 years ago, they revamped it totally, and it's not your typical small roundabout. It's huge. And I think they're putting another one in now as you enter Kingston, where one of the extensions to the thruway comes in, and you've got Broadway and three other streets.
Actually, on the along the Northway, which heads up from Albany to Montreal, they replaced on their exits. They replaced the traffic lights that you would come to the exit ramp, and usually there would be a traffic light. They replaced them all with roundabouts. It's really interesting. This a number of years ago, I remember thinking, well, this is a make-work project.
That's right. Shovel on the ground project. All right, let's move on. Let's move on to the Community Development Corporation of South Berkshire's and their $14 million they received.
Yes, it's great.
Yeah, that was a well-deserved grant from the state. They're going to build
affordable housing.
That might be an oxymoron here in Great Barrington, but
especially after this year.
But in any case, the Community Development Corporation of South Berkshire is trying to fulfill the town's obligation to have a certain percentage of affordable housing.
Is there an obligation?
Yeah,
that I didn't know.
Yeah, there's supposed to be a certain amount of affordable housing in each town, and that's one of the goals of the Community Development Corporation. But in any case, the CDSB got a large grant to create more affordable housing here in Great Barrington.
And they have several projects in the works now. There's also a project on Bridge Street, right, the same street as the Berkshire Co-op,
right,
that they're in the process of building now, which has been controversial. But it is, controversial only because it backs up on a sewage system. But they are building, I think it's, units there are, but this is going to be 12 affordable. Oh no, no, it's not. Anyway, so it's 80 to 90 units.
Right, and this is going to be this project that the state just funded is going to be 49 affordable housing, 49 unit affordable housing complex, and this is on South Main Street, which is going. Towards Connecticut,
right.
So it's south of town.
Right.
So
it's great. I mean, we need more affordable housing because housing, I mean, especially after this year, you know, the real estate market has been white hot here, and the brokers have almost nothing left to sell. As soon as something comes on the market, it's snapped up. People are buying houses like crazy here, as they are in other, I'm sure it's happening in Connecticut as well.
Oh, absolutely. And not only does it affect the affordable housing, the sale of affordable housing, rental units, which were already affected by all these online companies where people lease out their houses for people to stay in. But now you add the addition of people from the cities coming up and wanting to live here, put some enormous pressure on housing, enormous pressure. So. It's one of those, but you know what? They're going through it in Salisbury. They found a place to put affordable housing, this time where there used to be a big building. They turned it into a parking lot. Now they want to turn it back into affordable housing. And there is support and there is very strong opposition to where the placement is. It's a very touchy subject. As much as we need it, it's a very touchy subject.
Well, people are mistaken about what affordable housing is. I mean, they think it's going to be poor people's housing and they're building an instant slum. When in fact, it's for working people, and it's for the working people that we all need in our community. You know, police, teachers, and people who are not making big salaries, but whom we need in the town.
Yeah.
Well, so I always say that if you think the cost of affordable housing is bad, wait till you have to hire your own private fire department and your own private ambulance service. Then you'll understand, because people can't live in this area that are locals that volunteer for organizations like this. You got to look at the cost and effectiveness on the long range when you look at that.
Well, and, you know, and you're dealing with teachers' salaries, too, with teachers who can't afford to live anywhere near their school.
It's one of those problems that's like an onion. The more you peel it, the stinkier it gets.
You know, these are very attractive. What the CDC is building, these are very attractive developments. And people are very happy in them. And the ones that are already completed are in no way an eyesore or a problem.
Yeah. Well, let us move forward to item number three, and that the commercial activity and a pandemic, the education effects of a pandemic, are all something that we feel immediately. But there's also the long-term effect. So you've got a story on that with your illustrator, right?
Well, this is a very nice story because this local illustrator, Mark Rosenthal, has created three wonderful posters that encourage people to wear masks. We have them in the article. And they are all downloadable and printable for free. So he wants, you know, we have a link to a high-resolution versions, and he's encouraging people to download them and print them out either, you know, on their own computer or take them to a print shop. And you can make them either in any size, either postcards or full-size posters. So he's making he grew up during World War II, and he said he was really impressed by the posters in World War II because he felt that, you know, this is like a war, and why shouldn't we have war posters? So he remembered them from his childhood. So they're very funny. I mean, all three of them are encouraging you to wear a mask, and you know, he's got phrases like bad breath. <You know>? So they're very appealing.
Yeah, they're humorous in their way, it's a kind of lighthearted way of you know, reminding people to wear masks, for example.
Right.
You'd call them kind of propaganda posters during World War II to support the war effort and the sacrifices that everyone had to make in order to win that war.
And, you know, and I think when I look at these, I think, you know, everybody's going crazy. We've been making sacrifices for a year, and I wonder, I mean, too young to know, but, you know, what it was like in the Second World War when it went on for 4 or 5 years, you know.
Yeah.
We're so fed up after 1 year.
That's an interesting question, actually.
Yes, right. I mean, of course, we have much less patience than people had then. I mean, we've had several generations grow up with no patience and no, what's the word? I mean, you know, with ADD.
You're right. Patience is not a word that people understand anymore, or practice and use.
No.
Everything's black and white, gung ho, yes or no. You're again me, you're for
and
me.
Now.
And it's just the way it is. And
right.
Hopefully it'll change back, but one never knows.
Right.
You know, it's the next story was not surprising at all, the outcome of it. Just to the north of us here, Ashley Falls in Sheffield, the proposal for the growing facility for marijuana, and the planning board worked late into the night, I guess, and what they voted 5-0. It's not happening.
Right.
Right. Well, you know, isn't it isn't it interesting? this is a big proposal for a the neighbors in Sheffield were convinced the planning board in Sheffield to turn down a proposal to have a large pot farm. In fact, it was 5-0.
Yeah.
They turned it down. What I'm wondering is now that they've turned it down, I wonder if the applicant will come back with a modified plan.
I don't think modification is going to help in this point. It goes back to the patience thing, where it looked pretty much set in stone that that the public did have the influence over the planning board. It's just like with my good friend Richard, who owns the Great Barrington Airport. There's certain things that people just will not tolerate for one reason or another, whether they're good reasons or not. And I think when you look at the planning board voting 5-0, it's going to be really hard. I don't think people even want to scale down a thing of this.
Yeah, well, you know, it's zoned for business, that particular general business. So it's not as if this they turned it down because it was not zoned for this. They just turned it down because neighbors came and during the hearing and strenuously objected to this proposal. And so the planning board said, okay, we'll turn it down.
Maybe some of these marijuana growers will learn like what Lime Rock does. Lime Rock, for everybody that lives around the park in Lime Rock, Connecticut, they can go to the races for free. So maybe from now on, when they come up with these presentations, if people don't complain, they'll be able to get their marijuana supply for free.
I'm not sure that's going to work.
I'm not sure it's legal either. That's exactly right. But it's something that I would try, because why not?
Right. Well, there is another one in the works, though. There's further south, near the Connecticut border, there's another one that's being proposed by Christopher Regan, who owns a salad greens farm in Millerton. And that also requires a special permit, and there's going to be a hearing on that on March 24th. So,
I guess what I don't understand is these people should get a hold of some of these dairy farmers that have large tracts of land and say they're zoned agricultural, because it would be pretty hard to say you can't do something in an agricultural section. That's zoned agricultural,
but that's right. It's by right, actually.
But Will Rogers said it best: land, they're not making any more of it, so you might as well invest in it. That's only one of those things that comes in. Well,
Will Rogers.
Oh, I just love his. Look, every once in a while, when things get a little crazy at my house, I got a book of his quotes, and they're just so timeless. It's unbelievable. This month of March has come, and of course we're getting into springtime. But Women's History Month, and you've got a story at theberkshireedge.com on Berkshire Grown, highlighting women in agriculture. Speaking of agriculture,
yes, and there are a lot of them.
Yeah, this story. We have a very active farming community, and traditional farms, and also, somewhat smaller operations, too, all under the umbrella of what's called Berkshire Grown. And what's interesting is that of the farms in that are members of Berkshire Grown, 70% of them are partly owned or entirely operated by women, which is, I had not realized that.
Yeah.
I knew... You know, we'd had stories from time to time, and we know some of the farmers, but I didn't realize it was such a women-driven industry here. It's really remarkable.
Yeah, it's interesting at Housatonic with their FFA program, agriculture, agri-science, agribusiness. Students are required to take at least one course there and see if they like it. I think most of the people that head up the major offices are women, and easily 50% of the club is women. Agribusiness and agri-science is a big thing now, and people are getting into it at the ground level and even at the corporate level, women.
Apparently so, and it's, we take such pride in the farms and the homegrown and organic produce that we produce here, and this is a little story that takes a different kind of a view of this from a slightly different angle, and it's really remarkable. Learn something every day.
Now I want to go.
Well, we see them at the farmers' market.
Yeah, we do.
We see women manning the tables for their own farms, and so.
Yep.
All right. Well,
best in their bib overalls.
Right.
We have about 2.5 minutes left, and I want to get on the last story because Tangoid finally came out and did it.
They kind of
announced their.
Yeah, they didn't. Yes, it was a very odd announcement, and they made a big deal. When Tangoid is about to announce, they send out an email to the press about an hour and a half before, and they say, pay attention. Tangoid is going to make an important announcement at noon today. And so everybody gets very excited. But this announcement is sort of neither here nor there.
That's exactly right.
Yes, they're going to have performances, but they didn't say what, and they didn't say how many, and they didn't say what the rules are going to be. And
it would be kind of like applying for a job and getting a call saying, our president's going to call you about your application for the job. You get all excited. They get on, they say, well, we're going to hire you, but we're still figuring out how we're going to hire you.
That's what the job is.
Yeah, right. We don't know what the job is.
Well, I think that they're still figuring out the logistics of how they're going to do this. I think that is the issue, because all the performances are going to be held in the open air Kusevitsky Music Shed. That is, they're not going to be in the big concert hall.
Nothing in Ozawa.
In Ozawa Hall. And they're going to be 80 minutes, which is an hour and 20, rather than a long,
No intermission.
With no intermission. And so all the safety protocols for this protecting people from this COVID pandemic are going to be in place for the Tanglewood season. And it's just they're going to... the Berkshires in the summer, the Tanglewood concert season is
the main
really
economic
core of the summer, for the Berkshires.
Yeah, the main economic driver.
It
absolutely
is, and it has been for, a century. They're trying to make do.
That is a story that we'll obviously keep following, along with Mass Mocha possibly being unionized. We'll have to see what happens in the future.
Oh, yes, that too. Yeah. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah. Right.
So,
it was unionized,
at one time.
It was when Sprague Electric.
Yeah, that's right. All right. Well, we'll follow that and other stories, folks. Once again, theberkshireedge.com. Guys, we'll speak to you next week.
Yeah, okay. Take care, Marshall.
Take care.
Bye.
Yeah.
That is the Berkshire Edge on air. And once again, you can find them at theberkshireedge.com.